Hello, my name is Christina Campbell, and I am a microbiome science writer, and thank you so much for having me here on this podcast today. I'm here with your quick guide to the microbiome and how the science will affect your life. Let's start off with what is the microbiome? When scientists talk about the microbiome, they're referring generally to the genes and genomes of the microbes that are living in and on the human body, so the human microbiome. However, in colloquial speech, many of us say microbiome when we mean these organisms themselves. And these include bacteria, fungi, viruses, and archaea, and different sorts of bugs living in different places on your body. Another word you might hear is microbiota, and that refers to these organisms as well. And so these organisms live in a community in different places on your body. And the community looks different depending on the environment, because as you can imagine, different parts of your body, let's say the palm of your hand versus the inside of your gut where there's no oxygen, there's different conditions there, and therefore they're conducive to the survival of different microorganisms. I became interested in communicating microbiome science when I first had some digestive problems on my own. I'd heard of these things called probiotics, and I wanted to know if they'd be useful to me. And so I started to learn about them, and then learning about the context, which was the gut microbes, and then learning even more about the gut microbes throughout the digestive tract, say in the small intestine as well, in the mouth, and then all over the body. And this was sort of an emerging area of science. I first learned of it about, 7 or 8 years ago and really started digging in. I'm a freelance writer, so I was getting assignments to interview some of these scientists in the field, and I really started to become interested, and now I write about these microbes for both print and online media, different places of the world, and I also take this science and I consult on how to bring the science into various educational initiatives and also policy initiatives. So, why is it important to know about the microbiome? It is a new area of science, a new concept, but what I think is really interesting beyond just being new science is that it really changes our idea of the human body. I think it necessarily has to change it because we're used to thinking of ourselves as a collection of, human cells, and we're, this cohesive sort of entity. But when we learn about the microbes that are associated with our human body, they outnumber us slightly, and they have far more genes than the human genes we have. And they're very powerful. And so we're very intertwined. And how is that going to play out in our ideas of what it means to be healthy, what it means to have good hygiene and that sort of thing? So, for example, no longer can we think of good hygiene as getting rid of 99.9% of germs, which is sort of what some of the cleaning product commercials want us to believe. Because in reality, there are way too many microbes to ever get rid of. And in fact, many of them are beneficial to us, so we wouldn't even want to get rid of them. So I think it's worth knowing that people are going to try to educate the public on this microbiome and these related topics in the next decade. And it's worth just being aware of the different metaphors that people might use to describe the microbiome. One metaphor that some use is they call it an organ. So like this invisible organ that we never sort of were aware we had, invisible to the naked eye. Obviously, you can see these microbes under a microscope and you can sequence their genes. But so what do we do knowing we have this organ? Another metaphor that some use is a superorganism. So we have our body and these microbes working together for some sort of purpose as a superorganism. Another metaphor would be the holobiont. And this goes back to theories that we evolved with our microbes, and we co-evolved. So we helped each other maintain fitness at every stage, and sort of we are made for each other. And in our current state, you know, we can't live without each other. Another metaphor used is the ecosystem. And this is a very common one, to think of, you know, this mini ecosystem, let's say in your gut, that exists and has its own rules, very dynamic, and, you know, then therefore provides services to the rest of the body. So all of these metaphors, I think, are appropriate in certain contexts, but I think it is worth knowing that when people talk about the microbiome, they will be talking about it in some of these terms. So what is the role of the microbiome, you know, for you and me? I think these conceptual changes that I've been talking about, they will have to happen for each one of us in our own minds. And as we learn more about the science, we're going to have to change our ideas of, you know, our own body and our own health, to incorporate the microbial world. And so that's what I think the main takeaway is at the moment. And then, of course, there's the science, which is quite interesting and exciting. Scientists are working on different applications in medicine. They're working on new diagnostics. So, for example, maybe we will find a microbiome signature that might precede the onset of a disease. And one of the most promising ones right now is colon cancer. Scientists think they may have identified a microbiome signature that indicates that you are going to get colon cancer. And so you could detect early by testing the microbiome and therefore, you know, prevent or mitigate the disease. Also, new treatments. We know that the microbes in our guts are quite intertwined with our metabolism. And so it's possible you might have essentially probiotics used for a medical purpose, which are called live biotherapeutic products by some. So an example would be you might take some probiotics naturally found in your gut, but, you know, isolated, purified, and given to you in a pill, and that they may make some clinically important difference in type 2 diabetes, let's say for insulin resistance. So those are some examples of things people are working on. But I think it's very difficult because it's hard to, you know, with the microbiome being so complex and, you know, maybe it's an ecosystem, very hard to identify what about that ecosystem at a particular time is relevant to disease and could help, you know, help with symptoms or actually, you know, cure a disease. So these are huge questions, and we're only at the beginning of this journey of figuring all of this out. So one thing I do write about quite a bit is diet and microbiome. And the takeaway there is that every time you eat something, you know, it meets your microbes, and it does things. It may create metabolites, which are byproducts of metabolism. And these metabolites may affect your health in different ways. The one that's been by far the most studied is fiber, certain types of fiber, generally insoluble fibers called prebiotics. These are a special category of fiber, and they seem to result in the production of metabolites, short-chain fatty acids, and in particular butyrate, which feed your colonic cells, and then they go throughout the body, and there's different receptors throughout the body for these, so they can have systemic health effects, very, you know, in most cases, positive health effects. So this is the take-home point is, you know, eat your fiber. The microbes really put it to work for your health. So this is why I think we should all care about the microbiome. It's at the very beginning of, you know, what this is going to be in medicine. But I do think that we will look back one day and see, you know, the progress we have made because of the microbiome in, you know, curing disease or preventing disease in many other areas. And even with lifestyle, providing like really targeted ways to change our lifestyles to, let's say, prevent disease. So thank you so much for listening, and I hope you'll follow me on Twitter at @bykriscampbell. That's at @bykriscampbell. Thank you.